Just some quick logistics before we get started. All phone lines are currently muted. We will be addressing questions through the Q&A feature at the bottom of your screen. So if you have a question, please feel free to click on the Q&A button and the team will respond to your questions. It'll get kind of prompted into the queue. In terms of introductions, this is Audrey Speeder. I have with me several members of the CRISP team. We have Jerry Reardon from CRISP and Alicia Steinberg at CRISP. And from H-Metrics, we have Nate Hedberg and Dan Rosenzweig. A reminder that today's session will be recorded. All of the webinars and the accompanying slides will be available for download on the HSCRC website. So we welcome you to navigate to that website to get a recording of the slide. Those are generally up within about a day or so of the webinar. Additionally, slides, documentation, and any other hospital-specific materials are available on the CRS portal. Please navigate to the ECIP card to access your information and additional resources. I think with that, we're ready to get started. Nate, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Audrey. Again, today's session is going to be pretty open-ended. We'll start off with a quick just reminder of the upcoming timeline and deadlines for the next month, talk a little bit about updates to the online FAQ, and then open it up for discussion. So just a reminder of everyone of a couple key dates coming up. The most imminent of those is the care partner list submission coming up on the 24th so that CRISP can get those into CMS on October 1st. If you have any questions about further details for the timeline, again, that's one of the many topics we can discuss during the open forum. We have been getting a fair number of questions via email and just wanted to highlight the fact that there is a frequently asked questions document available on the ECIP card of the CRS portal. We've been posting updates to that Monday mornings Eastern time. So there's currently the original FAQ as well as a supplement document. I would highly recommend taking a look at that just to see if there are any questions that you might have had that we can answer here. As folks are thinking about questions during the open session, during the next hour, we do have a couple questions we've seen appear quite a few times that we can go through. But again, that will always be available for reference as needed, will be updated throughout the lifetime of the ECIP program. So with that, again, please use the Q&A feature at the bottom of your screen to submit questions. As we get a couple of questions queued up, Jerry, we did have a couple of folks wondering if you could comment a little bit more. I know we talked about this during the 101 webinar, but just kind of why hospitals might want to participate in ECIP and from CRISP's perspective, really the benefits of joining onto the program.
Hi, Nate. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. So I think that this is a natural evolution in the care redesign program, in which we know that hospitals have been doing a great job on their initiatives within the four walls of the hospital to contain costs, and some of the very good work that people have been doing with JOSERP and AMS on the HCIP program. If you then follow it along, then moving outside of the hospital walls, you know, there was reasonably good uptake of the CCIP program, which was meant to strengthen the relationships between the hospitals and community-based physicians around patients that particularly are higher rising risk in order to improve care coordination. With the advent of the MDPCP program coming on in January and then the development of the CTOs, we think that that's going to accelerate even further and spread to even more patients within the physician practices. And so then the last piece is basically looking at care from an episode of care perspective. And particularly, are there ways that we might be able to deliver care that is still high quality, but bend that cost curve as part of the total cost of care, where we're looking again outside of the four walls of a hospital? And that's what the ECIP program is intended to do, is to give hospitals the chance to kind of get used to how that program might work. One of the things we're very proud of is in working with CMS, that for the first year of the program, there is no downside risk. So there's only upside for the hospitals. And we think that that provides an additional incentive for hospitals to develop relationships with care partners that are community-based around these episodes of care that have been profiled. Anything else? Any other questions?
Thank you, Jerry. I think that's a really helpful introduction to this. Nate, we do have one question in the queue we can jump to. So there's a question of, we understand that the hospital MPA adjustment will be used to administer savings payments to hospitals. Since those are paid out of the hospital's rate adjustment over the next year, this means hospitals will be responsible for making incentive payments from existing funds. Is this an accurate assessment of the program incentive payment administration by facilities if we elect to pay incentives?
Thanks. So this is a question we've gotten a number of times, so I'm actually going to jump down and talk a little bit more about it. The short answer is yes, that is an accurate assessment of the way that incentive payment administration will work. For those who haven't gotten some of the background on this question, we've got a more full answer on the slide in front of you. So essentially, all ECIP savings payments are going to be made in the form of an MPA efficiency adjustment, as the individual asking the question indicated. And performance for a particular calendar year will be paid out over the course year of the rate that follows. And it's important to note that this is just a flat percentage adjustment that is separate and distinct from the MPA adjustment based on attributed population. It's a back-end payment adjustment that's not going to affect hospitals' charges as set per HSCRC policy. Again, it follows the rate year schedule, so performance for the first year of ECIP, calendar year 2019, would be spread out over the course of rate year 2021. And hospitals would be responsible for making incentive payments in the interim. And part of the thought here is that we wanted hospitals to be able to make more timely incentive payments to care partners rather than having to wait for that adjustment to come through.
Thanks, Nate. That's the only question in the queue at this point. I welcome all attendees to submit any questions they have in the Q&A, the Q&A app within the webinar. Just a reminder, these questions can relate to any of the content that we've covered in our webinar series so far. So introductions to ECIP or any detailed questions about the materials or how to complete that for participation. Nate, anything you wanted to cover while we wait for a few more questions to get queued up?
Sure. So one thing I wanted to go over with regards to the program materials that have been disseminated, one of the worksheets in the baseline analysis workbook had caused a little bit of confusion. So just wanted to cover that. There is a target price utility worksheet in the baseline analysis workbook, and in the upper right-hand corner of that, it shows a preliminary baseline target price and a modeled reconciliation period target price. price. And I'll switch over to that in a second to show you the functionality here. But just wanted to highlight that the first of those, the preliminary baseline target price, is the official target price that is based on your hospital's actual historic case mix for a given episode category. And that's basically what's being used as we're evaluating the program and developing it. The second one, the modeled reconciliation period target price, is actually based on the inputs on that worksheet. The intent of this was to allow users to see what the effect of a changing case mix would have on their target price, as target prices will be retrospectively adjusted based on case mix within APRDRGs and different severity levels for a given episode category during the program. So if I switch over to the worksheet really quickly, this is that target price utility that I had mentioned. So essentially what you're able to do is to pull down a specific clinical episode category from the dropdown right here. It will give you your actual historical baseline episode volume in this column here. And that's what this top target price is based on. And you'll notice if I take these values here and copy them over to this column here, those two numbers will match up. And then if I wanted to, say, reduce my lower severity volume and increase the number of higher severity cases, you'll see that that modeled price updates to reflect that changing case mix. Now, again, all target prices are preliminary, so this value won't necessarily match the final adjusted target price. In particular, there will be an additional, essentially, inflation market basket update that will be applied for the performance year so that it's in 2019 dollars. But again, it's just to help all users understand how the case mix adjustment's going to work. And so did want to just call out the difference between those two values.
Thanks, Nate. We do not have any questions in the queue. So welcome you to go through any additional material you have prepared.
Okay. So another question we've gotten a couple times is with regards to a value that is both mentioned on the payment flows worksheet that was provided as part of the program materials and been mentioned in the track template and a few other locations, and that's the ECIP incentive payment pool. I just want to highlight the fact that this ECIP incentive payment pool is a cap set by HSCRC on the amount that participating hospitals can pay out to care partners as incentive payments. This isn't an actual fund or source of payment itself. So this isn't where savings payments are coming from, and it's not intended to be a cap on the amount that the hospital itself can receive. This is essentially just a way of controlling and monitoring the incentive payments that hospitals are making to care partners so that it's tied to some historic reduction in avoidable utilization. For the first year of ECIP, this payment pool calculation is going to be based on the reduction in 30-day readmission statewide between calendar year 16 and 17. HSCRC has preliminarily apportioned the savings to individual hospitals based on their share of statewide Medicare revenue. We're in the process of finalizing that calculation, and the actual numbers should be out in the next month. We'll get it out as soon as possible. But again, this is only a cap on the amount that can be paid out to care partners, not a cap on the amount that hospitals themselves can receive. The only cap for hospitals is the 20% stop gain limit that's described in the target price and reconciliation specifications and other related program materials.
Thanks, Nate. Again, opening it up to questions from any of our attendees. If you have any questions at all, please submit them through the Q&A app. And while we wait for a few more, Nate, did you have anything else you'd want to cover?
So just a couple more questions. And again, these are just have just been pulled from the FAQ based on the number of submissions we've gotten. If folks are clear on the program, we won't hold you here for the full hour. There are a total of, I believe, 60 or 70 questions in the FAQ now. So again, would refer you to that resource. There have been a couple of questions just around the minimum number of conditions of payment for care partners. We did cover this in the technical webinar. And again, if a hospital is making incentive payments, care partners have to have at least one condition of payment tied to that incentive payment. Other than that, the number and type of those conditions are really set at the hospital's discretion. It's designed to be as flexible as possible, so as long as those are documented in the submitted implementation protocol, the hospital is able to set those at will. Finally, just a reminder for submitting care partner list for federal vetting. Those should be submitted via email to careredesign@chrishealth.org. And the first lists for ECIP are coming up due on September 24th. And then just a bit of clarification on that CLARE partner list. Again, facility level care partner information is required for skilled nursing facilities, home health agencies, IRFs, and other institutional care partner providers. Those vetting lists for such care partners do need to contain these five data points, and those need to be at the individual facility level, not the corporate level. So just be sure to provide that additional level of detail when you're sending those lists in.
Great. Want to also open it up to our CRISP team. Jerry, Alicia, if there's anything you'd like to add, please feel free to do so now. We do not have any additional questions in the queue. So what we can do is just a quick reminder for opportunities for additional discussion. So coming up, we have an ECIP-HCIP connection webinar that is scheduled for September 26. A reminder email will be sent out with additional information on how to register for that webinar. Last, we have our ECIP office hour session round two. That's scheduled for October 10th. Again, any questions you have about the program or about completing the information or the materials required for submission, we welcome you to bring them to the session and we'll be able to answer them live. Nate, Jerry, Alicia, anything you'd like to add?
Nothing at this point.
One question did come in. Is Nate, can you review the reporting requirements for ECIP? Actually, that might be an Alicia or Jerry question as well.
Alicia, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I was, I think, double muted on my computer and phone. So the basic reporting requirements for ECIP are similar to those for the other care redesign tracks, HCIP and CCIP, where we'll be collecting information on a quarterly template that we send out to you. We'll pre-populate that with as much information as we can from your implementation protocols, and then you'll provide information on your experience for that quarter. There are another more metrics that are identified in the implementation protocol track template, and most of those HSCRC and its H metrics and CRISP will be developing on behalf of the hospitals as we do for HCIP and CCIP. So again, very similar structure to the other care redesign tracks, and we're happy to share the quarterly reporting template as soon as we have that developed.
Thanks, Alicia. And then another question coming in, can you advise one more time on where the questions and answers are located online? So I believe Audrey is going to be pulling this up so we can actually do a live walkthrough of it. But if you log into the CRS portal, there will be an ECIP card that's just been added since we've started rolling out program materials. If you click on that card, it'll give you a number of different download links. The second of those, I believe, will be called Program Materials that contains a zip archive with PDF documents. Here we go. So it's actually the first link. So if you click on ECIP Program Materials, it'll prompt you to download a zip archive. And then within that, there will be one PDF that is the FAQ itself and a second document that is the FAQ supplement that was released September 11th, and we'll likely have a second supplement coming out early next week. There are a couple of questions we've been asked where we're waiting for feedback from CMMI on the program, but would highly recommend taking a look at the existing document and supplement. Again, we've gotten a lot more questions submitted via email than we went through on the call today.
And I just pulled up the original FAQ in the supplement so you can see it. Just be aware, everything opens up in a zip file and you'll be able to access or extract any of those files that you need. I think if that demo was helpful, we also welcome any questions if you don't know where any information is available. We have the portal up. Nate has all of the other additional information up. We're happy to walk through where to find any information. So one question came in is, for those that do not have access to CRISP, are the FAQs posted elsewhere?
And I believe, Alicia, correct me if I'm wrong, we are going to be cross-posting the FAQs on the HSCRC site in the same location as the webinar recordings, correct?
Yeah, it sounds like not everyone has access to CRISP, so we will go back and make sure that the FAQs are posted to the HSCRC Care Redesign website, where we have the track templates and the links to the recordings and slides from these webinars.
Okay, so again, we welcome any and all questions related to ECIP at this time. We can keep the line open for another few minutes and see if any are on their way in. Otherwise, just a quick reminder, we have our next session on, Nate, do you mind actually pulling up that last reminder slide? We have the HCIP-ECIP connection next week on the 26th, and then a second office hour session on the 10th.
And likewise, if you do have any questions you would like to discuss one-on-one with the CRISP team, or if you want to review your data, feel free to email careredesign@crisphealth.org, and we can set up individual sessions as well. But with that, I'll have the panelists stay on the line for a couple more minutes for any other last questions that come in. But otherwise, for our attendees, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to continued discussion of ECIP over the next few weeks as the application process continues, and hope that everyone has a good rest of their week.
And Audrey, this is Jerry. For the person that didn't have access to the portal, as well as for anyone else, if you just contact support.crisphealth.org, we can actually help facilitate getting people access.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. We did have one question come in. We are diving into post-acute care data, and we would like to be able to see the different buckets that fall into outpatient and physicians. For instance, with outpatient, is it PT, physical therapy, et cetera? And for physicians, what type of physicians are they seeing? PCP, cardiology, et cetera? Does such a file exist? I was browsing some of the CCLF files, and I could only get the larger buckets and not the breakdown of interest.
So Audrey, you might actually, give this question back to you. So the CRISP team is working on updates and enhancements to the CRS portal, and we will have additional reporting capabilities made available in the coming months, and then once ECIP goes live. We'll have additional details about the specific timing of those enhancements over the next couple of weeks as they get finalized. This question is one we have gotten some questions on, so we are looking about what additional detail we can provide beyond the existing MAID reports. I think we do have, at least for individual cases, more drill down capabilities available, Audrey, but you're more familiar with the existing MAID interface than I am.
Right. So within the MAID interface, there is opportunity to drill down at an individual episode level to get the specific claims within an episode of care. So we'd be happy to walk you through where that is. I think the patient level detail within the episode module will get you there. But on a more general level, what we can actually add into the frequently asked questions is a crosswalk of how the individual claim types are clustered into our aggregate settings. So for example, for physicians, it is all physician services. So any office visits from specialist or primary care are included in the physician services, as well as any physician services that are captured during an institutional stay. So our physician services are really all encompassing of any physician Part B claim. On the outpatient side, I think in some instances in MAID, it's also called an ambulatory side. The outpatient will include physical therapy as well as any outpatient hospital services. So your PT, ST, OT, as well as hospital outpatient, including ASCs and others. So I think it kind of depends on the report that you're specifically referring to on how that cluster is defined. But we can provide a crosswalk in the frequently asked questions on that.
Yeah, and I would encourage everyone, if there are specific enhancements to MAID that you'd like to see that would make analysis of ECIP or the other programs easier, submit those as well to the care redesign email, because again, we are in the process of developing enhancements that will be rolling out over the next couple of months. And it is very helpful to get that type of feedback so that we can make sure that we're including and prioritizing those enhancements appropriately.
And this might also be a good opportunity to say that while the ECIP materials are being prepared, or kind of the infrastructure for the monitoring of the program is being prepared, MAID is a very good resource for you to look into some of the episodes of care within the clinical conditions of interest to you. We will be making some enhancements to MAID over the next few weeks to better align the ECIP kind of infrastructure and episode design with what's in MAID right now. So you will be able to, in a few short weeks, be able to look at an ECIP clinical episode definition in MAID and be comfortable that it includes the same DRGs that we're talking about in ECIP space. There'll also be some additional enhancements to just make the ECIP and the MAID interface talk more in sync. There will be communications to users when those updates are available. But in the meantime, I think it would be, MAID is a great resource for you to understand the type of patients that have episodes in the clinical categories of interest. And there is drill down capability to get down to a patient level there. Please reach out to us at care.redesign@crisphealth.org. We'd be happy to set up kind of a one-on-one demo to make sure that everyone's aware how to do that. Yeah, there was a question of, can we explain what MAID refers to in CRISP? Nate, I'm happy to grab that for you. So the MAID interface is a separate card. Let's see if actually I can pull that up. Yes. Sorry guys, just one second. Oops. So MAID is a separate card in your CRISP portal. It's the CCLF Medicare Analytics and Data Engine. When you click on this card, you are entering a reporting suite that is specific to the CCLF data. And I'm not logged in, excuse me. Okay. Sorry guys, I'm gonna put that on pause for just a second. Yes, the MAID refers to the CCLF card. So just for those that may not be familiar with that, we use CCLF card and MAID somewhat interchangeably. We apologize for the confusion there. But it contains 36 months of data for patients that are attributed to your hospital. It is using the touch attribution. So it is an inpatient or an ER touch to your facility. And that's a good way for you to go in and see which hospitals have touched your system in the episode module for the clinical episodes of interest to you. The ECIP reporting suite that is still under development and underway will have a lot of similar traits to the MAID infrastructure, but it will be very specific to ECIP. Just one reminder, in the episode module in MAID, it does not align with the ECIP episode definition, so you will have inpatient hospital costs and readmissions included in the episodes within MAID. They, of course, are excluded from ECIP. Nate, Jerry, anything to add on that?
Nope.
No, I think that was very helpful, Audrey.
Great, and apologize. I won't be able to pull that up as it's a production site. So if there's any questions on how to use MAID, please reach out and we'd be happy to walk anybody through that and provide a quick demo. All right, I don't think we have any questions left in the queue. Nate, Jerry, any, Alicia, any final requests before we adjourn?
Nope.
Thanks, as always.
We're open to any questions at care.redesign@health.org if folks think of questions later on today or this week.
Thank you, everybody, for your attendance today. We really appreciate it. Feel free to reach out if there's any additional questions. And we hope to see you again at our upcoming webinars. Thank you.